The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
Does my practice need fixing, or do I need fixing? We've got a really, really interesting question from a listener today. So welcome to the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow.
I am Dr. David Maddow. Thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Like every single episode we do, we've got a fantastic one for you today. So super excited. Rich, let's get right into the question.
Absolutely. We have took a tiny hiatus for TBSE and for Thanksgiving. Now we're back and we're going to keep these coming for you. So thanks so much for listening and watching. Okay, Dave, as per your suggestion, we'll get right down to today's question.
Let's do it.
It says, Dear Dental Practice Fixers, I'm not sure if it's my practice that needs fixing or me. I've owned my own practice for around 10 years and things are going really well. I'm making more money than I ever could have hoped for and like being a dentist. I've been married to a fantastic woman for 8 years. We have a good marriage and two little kids I adore. But for the last year or so, I've been feeling a bit burnt out by dentistry. I don't like going to the office and I actually feel a little sick on Sunday evenings. Any suggestions for getting back in the saddle? Signed. Oh, I think this tells all. Signed. Dr. Blue, unless it's really their name. Wow. Very interesting. What are you thinking?
Well, I love the first part, how he said he was doing well. He's got a good life. Everything seems to be going great. However, just recently, it seems like just recently, did he give a time frame as to how long this has been going on?
Yeah, he said for the last year or so.
I've been feeling
a bit burnt out by dentistry. I don't like going to the office.
And Rich, I can't remember. Did he give an age at all? I didn't hear an age.
He didn't give an age. He's been married for 8 years and has two little kids. So, I mean, we could assume that puts him, late 30s, early 40s. But that's just a guess.
Yeah, I'd say.
Let's just say, as some people would say, it sounds like he's in the prime of his life.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, because that's really important, as opposed to somebody that's 65 and they're starting to feel that they're getting burnt out. Somebody in their 30s or 40, it's a problem. I think it's a real problem, and it won't just self-correct. It won't get better on its own unless you be pro. Well, maybe it's too late to be proactive because he's already feeling this blue stuff for like about a year, but. But he's got to do something now, or it won't just correct on its own. He's got to do something to get it better. We can talk about that. I've got some ideas.
Yeah, and first I want to say, Dr. Blue, congratulations. I know some people say you got the big rocks in your life and you put those in your jar first, and then you've got the small rocks, then the pebbles, then the sand, if anybody knows that famous analogy. So it sounds like you've got the big rocks, if you're telling the truth, which I don't know why you wouldn't be. You've got a great marriage. You have kids that you love. You're making good money, more than you ever could have hoped for. So maybe we'll get to that as well. But it sounds like you've got a lot of really good things going in your life. So congratulations. Maybe you don't need like a whole reboot or a super, super major fix like some people feel they need. So that's a good start. But it sounds like dentistry is not giving you what you need from a career perspective as far as fulfillment and happiness.
Well, so we have to identify and it's not necessarily a simple thing to do, but we've got to identify what it is that is making him sad, blue, not really into it anymore. Is it the actual practice of dentistry? Does he not like actually getting in the chair and doing the wet fingered stuff? Is that the problem? Or is it he doesn't like his team? There's communication problems. Does he not like some of his patients? And every time he sees certain patients, they just give him just a horrible feeling. Does he not like where he practices? There's so many things. So I think that has to kind of be identified first, because if he doesn't like dentistry itself, we've got to do something about that. And there are things that can be done about that. But identifying like what he thinks in his heart or in his gut is the problem is I think the first thing that needs to be done.
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunately, we don't have this information. So, okay, let's make a few assumptions then, for just generality's sake. Let's assume that he enjoys the patients, he enjoys dentistry, but he doesn't like the admin part of dentistry. And I think if you had to say, Dave, you made a great list there. Some people don't enjoy the actual clinical handwork. Some people don't enjoy treating patients. That stresses them out. Some people don't enjoy presenting treatment or talking to patients about money. Some people just don't enjoy owning a business and having to be the boss of other people. And I would have to say from our many years experience, that's probably the thing that the people who aren't enjoying themselves enjoy the least. They just don't like the business aspect, being a business owner, worrying about employees and team struggles and strife and all those things. So what if that's the case?
Then if he identifies that and that's the case, then he needs to fix that. And it could mean, there's so many things that could be done there. First of all, the total extreme would be to like be a hands-off administrator and only do the dentistry. And there are ways to do that. I'm not saying those are the best things to do. I mean, like,
there's nothing wrong with that though. If that's what makes you happy.
Well, I mean, like one thing would be like selling out to like a DSO or something. I mean, you know, and then you just kind of come in and do the dentistry every day. Don't worry about anything else.
Warning sign. I'm not so sure I agree with that, because from what I've heard, when you sell out to a DSO, it's not as simple as they hand you a check and boom, you're happy then. They have expectations of you. And many times those expectations are to produce and collect more than you're doing now. So their investment pays off. And it's not like the DSO has a full-time person and they're running the practice. So you're still stuck with the bullshit of running the practice that you didn't like. And we've seen dentists make that mistake too. So maybe just being an associate in a DSO or an associate in a practice would be different than selling to a DSO.
And don't get me wrong, Rich, I am not suggesting that at all. I said that's the extreme, because I don't like that idea at all. If I had a practice, I would not want to do that. I would want to do whatever I could to make my own private practice as best as it could be. So in this case, if given the example you used, if it's kind of like more of an admin type thing, I would say, look, I could be self-serving right here and say that we in our many, many years of coaching, we've seen this so many times. And I think that's probably why you said that kind of top of the list, Rich, because typically, when we come in, our coaches come into a practice, they see a lot of things that, once fixed, make it so much easier for the doctor. So, if that's the case, that would be probably one of my top suggestions. Is, you know, you don't have to use us if you don't want, but find a really good coach, somebody that can come in and get systems set up and make it streamlined and make it easy for you to come in and do the dentistry, easy and fun.
I totally agree, because as my friend Bob would say, I couldn't agree more, because one of the most stressful things in dentistry is putting out fires all day long. There's a problem with a team member. You got to put that fire out. Team members aren't getting along. You got to put that fire out. Things aren't flowing well because you don't have systems, as you mentioned. You got to deal with those fires all day long. You're not being paid by the insurance companies, whatever it is. But once you do have systems in place that are things that you utilize every single day and everybody knows what these systems are, you do have a lot fewer fires to put out and the whole practice becomes less stressful. Totally agree. Yeah,
totally agree too with what you just said. Now, Rich, let's just say, because I think we can come back to this, kind of circle back in a couple seconds, but let's just say, and we don't know the answer to this from the limited amount of information we have in the question, but let's say it is a clinical dental thing. Let's just say this doc has made some really good money, but he just doesn't love sitting down chairside doing doing some of the procedures. What kind of advice will we give him there?
Well, first of all, I think if it's just like one, I know this would be really probably a rare case, but one particular procedure stresses you out. You don't like endo, you don't like implants, whatever. Well, the obvious choice is just do what you like and refer that shit out. But that's kind of easy. I'm guessing that this doctor could have figured that out by himself.
I don't know about that. I think a lot of dentists think that, you know, they went to dental school, they were trained in all the things, and if an endo case comes into their practice, I'm just using that as an example because you did. If an endo case comes into the practice, they should do it. But I couldn't agree with you more because, well, using Brother Marshall as an example. Now, I know right now he's doing some niche stuff, but But for a long time, our brother Marshall did not love doing all of the different dental procedures. He there's some that stood out and he loved it. He pretty much tailored his practice to doing what he loved, which was, and I'm not suggesting this be the case, but removable prosthetics and oral surgery, you know, preparing people's mouths for removable. And he loved that. And if somebody came in that needed veneers on 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, he wouldn't do them because that's not what he did. He didn't. Right. He just didn't want to mess with them. And I would say, Rich, that when Marshall limited his practice to the stuff that he loved, he liked going in a lot more than he used to in the past.
I agree. And he also was not the practice owner. And he enjoyed that a lot, too. He went in, he saw his patients, they loved him, he loved them, he did a great job, and then didn't have to worry about the admin. So he had a unique situation that was really great for him. But I'm going to say something else about the procedures, too. Let's just say that you're kind of a drill, fill, and build. I know it's an old term, because we don't, hopefully not bill anymore, but you guys know what I mean, guys and gals. You're a drill, fill, and build dentist. You're
doing all the bread and butter.
Bread and butter, pickle chips. You're doing, or a ham and agar, as some people would say. You're a real ham and agar.
Agar, agar, ugar.
Oh, exactly. You're just doing all the routine stuff, and you're just bored and you're burnt out. I'm going to give a suggestion, but with a big warning. And the suggestion is do some more exciting things. Go take a great implant course or an automated endo course. Learn how to do procedures you're not doing. Learn how to do some of your own perio surgery or start diagnosing perio more. Do some things, sleep dentistry. There are so many things out there, things that will be challenging and fun. And keep doing things that are challenging and fun. Always be taking courses. Learn, learn, learn. Get excited, get excited, get excited. So that's good. My caveat is, and Dave, I think you know where I'm going with this, don't let some dental salesperson talk you into buying something that's very expensive that you don't need. We see this all the time. Dentists think this next piece of fancy equipment is going to be the answer to all their woes, and it only turns out to be the answer to adding one to their debt. So if you're going to learn a new procedure, make sure it's something you love that you really have a great interest in, and dip your toe in before you start spending the big bucks on all the fancy schmancy stuff.
I think, Rich, the best example, we've probably talked about it on the show before, the best example we've ever had with that is when that doc, we'll keep names anonymous, of course, but he was burnt out on dentistry. He wasn't making any money anymore. He was getting older. He just like kind of hated what he did every single day. And he was sold a bill of goods because he went to that course and this company that was selling this pain machine that he's going to be like the diagnostician in his area. When anybody has any kind of facial pain, they're going to come to him and he's going to be diagnosing it and treating it. And he's going to be famous in the area and making a fortune. Well, we told him not to do it because it doesn't really happen the way the course is promised that it's going to happen. And he didn't listen to us. And we checked in with him like a year or so into his pain machine thing. And it didn't go so well at all.
He bought the pain machine. He and his team were flying down to, I think it was Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which, yeah. Hey, nice place to go for sure. But
Florida.
Exactly. They had to take all these courses. And he thought like if he just started saying or like put a little, I think he said he's going to put a little sign in his front window, you know, we now treat facial pain, that patients from a 300-mile radius were going to come flocking to his practice.
Oh, that'll work.
I think another problem was this pain machine was kind of a BS technology anyway that didn't even work. So that was, you know, to top things off, as they say. But yeah, that's not going to be the answer.
Well, let's circle back because there are, you know, we talked about admin, we talked about clinical, there are other things too. But let's just say that the most important thing is for the doctor, and thanks so much for writing this question in. It's a great question. Has to take a step back, take some time, identify what's the thing or things that are making him not feel good about dentistry and get it, if it means hiring a coach, doing something, but correcting those things. And I think once he does that, I think he's going to really enjoy the practice of dentistry much better.
I agree because it sounds like the good personal life is there. It sounds like the money is there. Right. I mean, those are great things. We're not saying you have to earn more money than anyone else in the world, but it's good to be earning an excellent living. And it's better to have an even fantastic family life. So all those things are cool. And I'll make one more suggestion too, and then maybe we'll move on to our call of the week. Some dentists, Dave, and we've seen this, I think, so many times, some of these great men and women out there who are dentists feel that it's their responsibility to serve every single person, to work 12-hour days, to just be this important figure who's doing everything, seeing everyone, working long hours, working 5 to 6 days a week, taking every emergency, working late, coming in early, and you don't have to do that. You don't have to see every patient. You don't have to work every day. You can work a 3.5 day work week and still earn a really good living and then have the time for your hobbies and your friends and your family and your side hustle that gives you joy. Whatever it is, you don't have to always be in the office slaving over a patient.
Hey, I second that. Couldn't have said it any better. It's so true.
I second that emotion. All right. Well, hey, let's move on to our call of the week. But before we do, Dave, I just want to tell our listeners about a really cool thing we're doing. If you listen to this podcast at all or watch it, you know that we love Fat Merchant for credit card processing. They are absolutely the disruptors in credit card processing. If you don't switch to them, you are losing money because you're paying an overage percentage on every single charge. Fat Merchant's the only company we know of that does not charge an overage percentage. They just charge a low monthly fee. But for some reason, not everybody has gotten on this bandwagon yet. And we want to do a little post-Black Friday, post-Cyber Monday special for you. Maybe you're still doing your holiday shopping and you'd love an extra $100 for your holiday. Who wouldn't? And this is for docs and team members. Go take a little tour with Fat Merchant. And when you love them and sign up, you're going to get a $100 Amazon gift card to use for your holiday shopping or for yourself. You deserve it. Treat yourself. So to find out, just go to www.matto.com/gift card. GIFTCARD. Matto.com/gift card. It'll take you to a page that tells you why you should be using Fat Merchant, lets you sign up for a little exploratory phone call. And when you sign up, you'll get a $100 Amazon gift card. Why the heck not?
You know, Rich, it's always, we've always said, since we've been talking about Fat Merchant, we've always said it's a no-brainer. Now I think it's like now it's like the total no-brainer is no-brainer. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? So that's all I have to say. That's all I have to say.
I'm sorry that we're already using them because I'd like to sign up fresh and get a $100 Amazon gift card. I'd split it with you, Dave. 60 for me, 40 for you. Would you do that?
While we are talking about things that can help our docs and team members and practices, Rich, I just wanted to say that it's getting to be that time of the year. It's already, by the time people listen to this, it's going to be early December. And it already is early December, actually, sure, but it's going to be even later, earlier December.
Even earlier.
That makes sense. Earlier, later, yeah. December. But this is the time of the year that people start to reevaluate, hey, how was 2019? How did I do? Can I do things better? Along the lines of our question that we got asked today, you know, look, there's some things that are starting to bother me a little bit about dentistry, and I'm not sure what path to take. Now's the time. Now's the time. There could not be more of a perfect time, the end of the year, beginning of 2020, to start. Let's get our practices as best as we can. Now, that doesn't necessarily, if you don't want to make more money, that's fine. But if you just want to come in every day and have it smoother. Making more money is always great, but if you just want to be at peace with yourself, having a smoother running practice, a better running practice, now's the time to really start thinking about that. We can help you. And it starts with attending one of our master classes. They are free for doctors. There's nothing to lose except taking off on a Saturday and coming to Baltimore. But it's a great day of learning, of building with other practices, other docs that are there, kind of helping each other out, answering each other's questions. And also, we will show you how we can help your practice be much better and the way you want it to be. So to check out our dates, future masterclasses, just simply go to masterclass.matto.com. I'm not going to spell any of those for you because you already know how to spell them. It's easy. Masterclass.matto.com. Take a look at our schedule. We'd love to see you there with us.
All right, fantastic. Let's get to our call of the week.
Let's do it.
This computer generated music is horrible. But I'll hold. Since she was so polite.
How long does this go for?
Not sure if I can take this much longer.
Clap.
Like when I play warm-up music before a band comes on.
Right, right.
Thank you for holding. How may I help you?
Yeah. Do you do root canals there?
Yes, our dentist. He's a general dentist, but yes, he too. Root canal. Unless you went to a general dentist and they refer you to a specialist, then you will have to find an endodontist.
I'm not sure what you mean. So he does root canals unless someone refers you to an endodontist, and then you have to go there?
If you see a dentist and they refer you to see a root canal provider, then you will have to find an endodontist, the one that specializes on root canals.
Uh-huh. So there's a dentist that specializes in root canals.
Well, our dentist is a general dentist that do root canals, but sometimes he has to refer people out because it all depends your nerve look.
How your nerve looks. Yeah. That's what it. Okay, because my last dentist told me I needed a root canal, and I never got it done, and it doesn't hurt anymore. But I thought maybe I should get it taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, you can come in and he can do an exam and x-rays and look at it and see if you still need it, or then we go from there.
Right, so I might not still need it?
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't hurt,
If it doesn't hurt, I might not need it. That's what I thought. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, usually when you really need a root canal, that thing, it will hurt like crazy.
It'll hurt like a mofo, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so it's not hurting anymore. So maybe I'll just wait and see.
Yeah. Maybe you had an infection or any clear away or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if I never really needed it in the first place. That's interesting. All right.
Yeah, because sometimes you can get infection and then it hurts. But yeah, if it doesn't hurt anymore, how long ago was that?
It was about 6 months ago.
Oh yeah, then it doesn't hurt. Yeah, maybe you don't need it.
Okay, well, good to know. I'm so glad I called, so I just won't worry about it then. Thank you so much for the information.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
Oh, you too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
It's tough to even know where to begin with this one, right?
I know where to begin. I know where to begin. I got to ask you a question because I think you obviously are the one that did that call. Okay. Was that faked or was that
it
real?
It was totally not fake. Not only that, I just did one call. I didn't do 10 and pick the best one. And it got cut off at the beginning, but she answered pretty much like dental office, hold please, and then had that horrible piano music for a couple minutes. But, geez, did she do anything right? She was friendly. She was friendly. We'll give her that.
Yeah. Did she do anything right? No. Okay. That was one of the worst calls I've ever heard in my life.
And the dentist has no idea what's going on. First of all, as I think we'll come to the conclusion, just get the patient in the office. But right away, before it even went totally downhill, the first thing she said was, well, you need a root canal. You might need to see an endodontist. So, I mean, before knowing anything about the patient or if they even need a root canal, she's referring them.
I didn't even understand where she – you asked a simple question. Do you do root canals?
Right.
She said yes, but then she started going through this whole thing that I didn't even understand. Like why it made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it was pretty much, well, our dentist does root canals, but he's a general dentist. So if a general dentist told you need a root canal and they referred you for one, then you need to see an endodontist. So which, you know, I guess she thought like my general dentist referred me to an endodontist, but I was just calling around to find someone that did root canals. I'm not sure what she was thinking.
That's what that was all about. Now I kind of understand where she was going through, right, although it was horrible, but I kind of understand.
Very confusing to a patient. I don't know. My dentist told me I need a root canal. Now I'm calling a new office and they're telling me I need to go out to another special kind of dentist. Very confusing. And then towards the end, she kind of gave the great advice that if it doesn't hurt anymore, don't worry about it. It might have just been some infection, but you probably don't need a root canal anymore. So why would you even worry about this?
She was worse than horrible. I mean, she wasn't horrible at best. She was worse than horrible.
Horrible at worst.
Horrible at worst. Yeah, horrible at worst. So she was, here's horrible. She's probably down at this level somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Really, really bad. Sending the patient away before even bringing them in, giving horrible advice, which is, oh, if your dentist told you need a root canal, but it's not hurting, don't even worry about it anymore.
It's probably gone away, yeah. It's probably
gone away. Yeah. And then hanging up without even making even a feeble attempt at getting the patient in.
And let's just make up a name. Let's say her name was like Marge, maybe like Miss Marge. Marge. Like her dentist is in the back doing the work, thinking, oh my God, my Miss Marge is perfect. She's so good. She's been with me 15 years. She's great. Not knowing this dangerous woman is manning her phone, his phones.
Yeah. She needs some serious, serious training. Let's hope that she can keep her job, but she needs some serious training.
Grade?
F minus.
I would give her the lowest grade legally allowed by law.
How about that's illegally?
That's what I would even go that far. I'd give her illegal. It was just it was just horrible, really horrible.
Okay, that's the way it goes on the Dental Practice Fixer. So hey, just like Dr. Blue had, if you have a question for us, send it in. I never know the email address, but info@matto.com always works for anything. So send us a question if you want us to call your practice. Send us that as well. And let's wrap up this episode of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Richard Matto.
Dr. David Matto, we will see you next time.